touch them for Christ. This morning, we're going to continue our learning and growing together in the 9th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. And I am excited about today's message. This is a really, really good message for us. I would call it a vision message, where we're going to talk together about what it means to be on purpose for Jesus as a church and as an individual. And our vision is to reach into the hearts of the people in this community, to go and help them to become disciples and send them forth as faithful disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. And fortunately, some in the church gave me a wonderful, powerful illustration to help us to understand this. So this morning, if I could sum up the message in two words, it would be a resolute decision. What is a resolute decision? We're going to talk about that. And as I get ready to read, I would like for you to answer this question. Have you ever made a resolute decision? Have you ever made a resolute decision? And so we're going to look at a time in Jesus' life where he makes a resolute decision. And then we're going to look at something that Paul says about a resolute decision that he made. And we're going to learn how we can help our souls to actually make a resolute decision. Because most of the people, myself included, that we know, they rarely can say, oh, I know for sure I made a resolute decision. And the reason that's so is because it probably wasn't resolute. It was probably just an idea. Or something we tried for a little while and it just didn't work out. Or perhaps an obstacle got in the way that was too big for us to move. And that tends to sink our ideals. So Jesus makes a resolute decision here in the 9th chapter. And I call verse 51, this is the key verse. This is where something happens and Jesus basically throws his shoulders back and says, it's time to finish. And so it works like this. Chapter 9, verse 51, I'm just going to read a couple of verses there. As the time approached for Jesus to be taken up, he resolutely set out for Jerusalem. And he sent messengers on ahead and went into a Samaritan village to get things ready for him. But the people did not welcome him, because he was heading for Jerusalem. And when the disciples, James and John, saw this, they asked, Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven and destroy them? But Jesus turned and rebuked them, and they went on to another village. And so here it tells us in verse 51 that it was time for Jesus to fulfill his purpose. And he resolutely set out for Jerusalem. This is the moment, the first of two moments, where Jesus, the human Jesus, has to make a decision about the divine plan for his life. You see, before the earth was created, it was decided in the heavens that Jesus would die for our sins. And now Jesus is about to resolutely decide as a human that he's going to go to the cross and finish this resolute decision that was made in the heavens. And as a man, there are a lot of things that get in the way of what we think are resolute decisions. There are many opportunities to change our mind. Jesus teaches us that when a soul makes a resolute decision, there is no changing your mind. And so this is when the human and the divine join together. And so I ask you again, have you ever made this kind of decision where the human and the divine join together and you live your life on purpose? This is that very moment for Jesus. He is
resolute. When he went up on the mountain, let me tell you how a resolute decision gets made for you and for me. Jesus goes up on the mountain and he meets with Elijah and Moses. You remember? And they have a conversation. And that conversation on top of the mountain is critically important to Jesus' decision. Does anybody remember what they talked about? They talked about encouraging Jesus to fulfill his destiny, to finish what God had started. In other words, it's a rah-rah meeting. That's what that is. Elijah and Moses meet Jesus on the mountain, put their arms around him, and say, "You can do this. This is your purpose. You can finish this." And they encourage him. Sometimes we fail in our resolute decisions because we don't surround ourselves with people who would encourage us in that decision. We think the decision is simply a matter of the strength of our will. Not so. Not so for anyone. Matters not how strong your will is. You cannot make a resolute decision in a vacuum. You will fail. So Jesus has Moses, the law, Elijah, the prophets, supporting him and holding him up as he resolutely decides to go to Jerusalem. And the very first thing he does, and we need to understand this about resolute decisions, the very first thing he does, he says, okay, in order to solidify this decision, I'm going to go to Jerusalem, but I'm not going to take the normal path that everybody takes. I'm not going to go on the other side of the Jordan River, where I'll be loved and accepted all the way down to Jerusalem. No, I'm going to set my eyes right on Samaria, where they hate me. And I know they're going to reject me. Because I need my disciples to understand what a resolute decision is. There's going to be trouble. There's going to be trials. There are going to be things in your way that are going to try to deter you. You must stay focused. Most people think that being born again is a resolute decision. Not for everybody. Not so. Something else must happen. And I know that in your life, you would love to make a resolute decision. But I will tell you this. It is a waste of time to make a resolute decision about your worldly affairs. That is not what this is about. This is a divine appointment between you as a human being and the Creator who made you. Will you live your life according to the purpose that God has for you? And will you make a resolute decision to do that? See, sometimes we think we've made resolute decisions only to look backwards and say, must not have meant that, right? So Jesus sets his mind and his heart, he throws his shoulders back and says, to Jerusalem. What I'd like to do is, I'd like to just share a couple of thoughts with you, kind of foundational thoughts, as we get ready to help each other understand this. The first comes from Peter. Peter's there. He's part of this resolute decision. And you know, a time is coming in Peter's life, and will soon be upon him, when the Spirit of the living God is going to call upon Peter to make a resolute decision. Something that cannot waver. Now that does not happen right away. You understand. It doesn't even happen. It's not because of a good sermon that Jesus taught. It's not because Jesus put an arm around him and loved him. No. Something else has to happen for this to be a resolute decision. And so Peter says this. He says something about making a decision. This is in his letter. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he's given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith and are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that shall be revealed in the last day. In this we greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have to suffer grief in all kinds of trials in your life. These, the hard things in life, these have come not to change your resolve. You understand this? The trials don't come to change our resolve. Peter puts it like this. These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even through, though refined by fire, can be proved genuine, made resolute, steadfast, unchanging, so that your faith is like a solid rock upon which you stand, and everything in your life falls upon this rock. This rock crushes the obstacles that face your resolute decision. You live a life of faith, and the purpose of the trials is what? To change your resolution? No. To strengthen it. To make it stronger. And this may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus is revealed. The Apostle Paul has made a resolute decision. He talks about this over and over again. He makes a resolute decision to go to Rome. He wants to go to Rome to preach the gospel. And more than that, he makes it perfectly clear that God has told him that his purpose from henceforth is to convert the emperor. And he makes a resolute decision, the human man matching the divine purpose, he makes a resolute decision to go to Rome. But there's only one way he can get there. He's got to become a prisoner, sentenced to death for treason. He gets on a prison ship, the ship sinks. He goes to an island and builds a fire for his prison guards and gets bit by a snake. He's got to go back on another prison ship, and in the belly of that prison ship, they take him to Rome, where he is chained ankle and wrist to a Roman guard for every day for the rest of his life. And never one time does he say, God, are you sure you want me to do this? That's just too human. No. As he's anticipating the fulfillment of that resolute decision, listen to what he says to the Romans. Romans chapter 1, verse 8 and following. I want to thank God through Jesus Christ for all of you. He's never met these people. He's never seen them. He's never been there. And he starts by, this is how you make a resolute decision. He starts with the image of what? Does he start with the image of the thorn in his side? Does he start with the image of being shipwrecked? Does he start with the image of being whipped? Does he start with the image of being stoned? Where does he start? He starts with the image of other human beings. This is how you make a resolute decision. You cannot start with yourself. He starts with them. I thank God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is being reported all over the world. God, whom I serve with my whole heart in preaching his gospel, the gospel of his Son, is my witness how constantly I remember you in my prayers at all times. And I pray that now at last, by God's will, you may be the way may be open for me to come to you. He has a resolute decision to go to Rome. And every single day he's praying for people he's never met. He's got the image of those people in his mind. He's got their hearts in his mind. He's got their salvation in his head. A resolute decision begins with other people. It's the same for Jesus. When he throws his shoulders back to fulfill his divine purpose, guess what? He sees me. That's why he does it. He sees you and he sees me. And without that, no human can do it. And so it continues. Listen to this carefully, verse 11. I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. The Greek word, resolute. Paul says that he longs to come to the people that he's praying for because it is the desire of his heart to make their faith strong, to resolve their decision to follow Jesus. You see, watch this. This is Ernie, okay? This is the spring of life. The illustration falls apart because this is infinitely and forever full. This never runs dry. God decided on my behalf, he made a resolute decision that I would live according to his purpose. And so his desire is to fill me. Here's how this works. Saloma Kivett was my Sunday school teacher when I was a kid. Something happened to her. I'm going to tell you what, God filled that woman up. I haven't seen her since I was 9 years old. But she was part of this. And she was full of God. But God wanted more for her. He wanted her faith to be resolute. He wanted more. And the only way she could get more was she had to pour a little bit into Ernie. And so God gave her more. Her pouring into me made her faith resolute. Nick Paraskevis is a Greek Orthodox young man that I met my sophomore year in college. He was full of God. He led the Campus Crusade for Christ ministry on the campus, and he was full. But God had so much more in store for Nick. He wanted to continue to have Nick grow. And in order for Nick to grow, he had to pour into Ernie. And as God poured into the people who have influenced me in my life, I made a resolute decision to follow Jesus as a sophomore in college. And God poured into me. I was born again. Most people think that that is the end of it. I kind of felt that way because I felt so good. I felt so good about where I was. It felt good to be born again. It felt good to finally understand God in my life. But I learned this is not yet resolute. This is just a decision. And so something has to happen in order for me to get stronger. You know what it is? God gave me my wife. Now, people have been pouring into Brenda's life who weren't me. There's lots of godly people in Brenda's life. But he gave me her so that I could pour into her, so that I would have room to grow. And I'm going to tell you a story. So appropriate for us as a church. And I want the same illustration, but a little bit of a different way. The early 1800s, there was a woman who lived in northern New York. She had seven children. And when the youngest of the seven children was 4 years old, she got pregnant. And then her husband died. And 2 months after her husband died, she had twins. And she did her best to raise those nine children. She did the very best she could. But times were tough. She couldn't do it. And so when the youngest boy was 14, they moved to Boston, Massachusetts. She shipped her children off to jobs. They didn't make any money. They worked so they could eat. At the same time, in Boston was a very successful businessman. His name was Edward Kimball. He owned a shoe factory and made clothing in Boston. And this young man, at the age of 14, went looking for work. No one would give him a job. And finally, he fell upon the shop of Edward Kimball. Now, Edward Kimball not only was a successful businessman, he was one of the leaders of the Congregational Church in Boston. Sat in the front row. And back then, to sit in the front row, you had to give a lot of money. Still like that, right, Gloria? I'm just saying like that. Yeah, that's how you got the front row seat. But Edward had felt unfulfilled as a Christian. He didn't feel that he had a divine purpose, but he's a very successful businessman. So this young 14-year-old boy went into Edward's shop looking for work. And Edward said to him, you ready? God filled Edward. Edward said to this young man, I will give you a job, provided you go to church with me on Sunday mornings. Edward Kimball. And they met for a while. And Edward Kimball wrote in his diary, a darker soul I have not met than this young man. The young man stopped working for Edward and went and got a job somewhere else. After a couple months, Edward got this pinging in his heart for this young man. And so he went looking for him on Sunday morning during Sunday school. And he found him working in another shop, sat down with him, and said, I've missed you. I wish you would be with us. He said, well, the only reason I'm not coming is because I can work here and I get money and I get to work on Sunday morning. I didn't think anybody would miss me. He said, would you come back? And the young man came back. The young man couldn't read, and he couldn't write. And Edward taught him how to read and how to write. And if it weren't for Edward Kimball, Dwight Moody would not have been who he was. The greatest evangelist of the 19th century. Edward Kimball, his Sunday school teacher, taught him how to read. Well, you know what? I would almost promise you that Edward Kimball's faith is resolute. Right? Yes. Dwight Moody is the only man, as far as I know, who preached to Abraham Lincoln, Ulysses S. Grant, and Robert E. Lee on the same day. He spoke all over the world. He's the first one who ever created a Bible completely made of pictures so that children who can't read can get the gospel. He spoke all over the world. He's the first one who ever created a Bible completely made of pictures so that children who can't read can get the gospel. What does it mean to make a resolute decision? See, you and I think we can just come forward here and kneel down and say, Jesus, be my Savior, and we've made a resolute decision. No, we have not. No, we have not. It's not until we begin to get the image of other people in our minds who are not going to go to heaven unless we do something about it that our faith becomes resolved. As long as we think this is enough, we will stop right there. But that is not God's intent. That is not how the Spirit works. We should have others in mind. Putting our arms around other human beings who need us in their lives. We shouldn't just be thankful for who's here. We should be ever mindful about who's not. Ever mindful about that. Same in youth ministry. These are the people we go after, because we don't know which one is the next D.L. Moody. We have no idea. That's not up to us. But we're called to make a resolute decision about our faith. And so I challenge you. In youth ministry, we're going to have a mentoring system coming up. You're going to hear about it. You know what? Edward never had a child of his own. He's a successful businessman. He doesn't need to do this according to the world's standards, but he needs to do it according to his divine purpose. And that is how we become resolute as a church. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you, Lord, for the goodness of your holy word. And I pray, Lord, that among us there would be many who would resolve themselves to teach the gospel to those who stand in need of grace and mercy. Father, we need your strength and your courage. We want this to be decided in the heavens and strengthened here on earth. So help us to support and encourage one another as we journey through these days, that we might go from everlasting to everlasting, carrying as many with us as we can upon our backs. In Christ's name and for his sake, amen. You are invited now to share together in the giving of your tithes and offerings.